Welcome to The Life Engineer with Maddie J. He unpacks and interviews guests to share the tools, components, and software that's needed to build a life and mindset by design versus one of default.
Welcome to the podcast, Sue Fletcher from Time.
Yes.
So, training in mentoring and excellence.
It is, yes.
So we've known each other a while through Facebook, probably through my sister. We met at ADHD Sheppey, didn't we?
We did, yes. I've known your sister for many years. Yeah.
And we started chatting about mentoring and coaching and the synergies.
Yes, we did.
Of stuff like that and stuff we're doing locally. So mentoring, people say that about coaching. I think they get them mixed up, the difference between consulting, counselling, coaching and mentoring.
Yes, there's definitely overlap there, especially with coaching and mentoring. I mean, coaching and mentoring use very much similar, if not the same, skills and qualities and things. But with coaching and mentoring, it's less formal than counselling, for sure, definitely. Mm. You know, I mean, if you think about going to a counsellor, you've normally just got 6 to 8 weeks, especially if it's cognitive based, you know. And things like that, whereas mentoring and coaching can be, especially mentoring, I'm not sure about the coaching, but especially mentoring can be definitely longer term. Some coaches have a specific time limit, whereas mentoring is more, could take as long as it needs, basically, you know.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how yours works, but mine initially, although it's not, I'm not a qualified counsellor, initially some of the work, that I do is on stance, where they're coming from, which is the deep work.
Yes.
Once that's established, so I like the analogies going back to boxing. Once you've got the foundational work right, is your stance, your combinations of what you're going to do. A lot of it after that is repetition and tweaking.
Oh.
So in terms of business development, you've got to put business together before mentoring something that you would have as you established and grew, a bit like pruning or taking cuttings from plants. It's part of the system of growing, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And it's ongoing as well. So, it's definitely ongoing. So obviously businesses and organisations that I work with, they have new people coming in and out of the service quite often. So the mentoring is literally ongoing. It's there all the time in the background, and it's there if people need it and things.
So what do you... what do they call them? Your lift spill when you get in a lift. What is mentoring? What would you say was?
It's definitely a learning relationship, definitely. And it's about helping people develop, whether that's be personally, for something personal within their lives, or to achieve a set goal, or career development, or, you know, the focus has got to be on what the client or the mentee wants to achieve, and they've got to value what it is they're going to achieve. Mm. They're very much individual and client-led. We're just there to guide and support them and maybe help them reframe things. You know, because sometimes we get bogged down with what we believe, and, you know, we can't do something right because someone's told us that as we've grown up or whatever. And sometimes it's just a case of someone coming in and saying, could we look at that a bit differently?
See, I talk about aligning. So I've just started going out on my bike more. And it's funny, I've realigned. So how I thought a cyclist would be, I always think people that wear the full lycra, no disrespect, but look like knobs. They look good, but I think that I would. You know, I've got white pasty legs. How I saw cycling, cyclist, and I've had a bike for ages and not used it. So I've realigned it. I've got a van I use for lift engineering. I've adjusted it now to get my bike in, and I'm doing stuff where I want to go out camping, cycling, and do more remote working to realign how I work, because I want to change my energy. So the whole way I've seen it is looking completely different, and I've got a different energy for it. And that alignment, that changing how people see things, I think is similar with what I talk about alignment, getting you in aligned to. I remember working with a woman once who didn't want to discipline people for being late as part of their management job. So we realigned it to helping them that if she didn't, they would be sacked.
Yes, exactly. You know, but it's also about exploring why they were late and what could that person do to prevent them being late.
And if you did that coming from a place of helping, it becomes more comfortable to, rather than a place of discipline.
Yes, exactly.
You're shifting where you're coming from. And I think my biggest shift was when I started saying to myself, I'm going to make asking for help part of the piece of the puzzle in what I do.
Mm.
So before, I remember, you know, I've had a coach, I was becoming a coach, and I got to a point where I think I started using a VA. I read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week, and I used a VA, and suddenly I started thinking, well, what else don't I know, and how can I pay or ask for help? And I was specifically phoning up people, like I did with you on the podcast, you know, reaching out and opening up and asking for help. And I went back to one of my old directors who's been mentoring me on developing the business, because how I wanted to approach companies, what I wanted to do was go in there and say to them, like, I'm a boxer, I'm going to come through the business and smash you in the face. And he was like, so that was the start of the conversation. That's what I want to say, because if your business is unstoppable, I'm not going anywhere. They'll stop me at the front line. But if it comes through the system, through the system, through the systems, and if he's taking a hit through the business of problems, of inadequacies, of quality issues, then it's a bit like letting water go into a bathtub and find the leak.
Mm.
But it was funny, the conversation with him just helped me. I still use that.
Did he say to you, how do you think the person you're talking to is going to say, take that?
Well, we talked about, he said, well, that's fine because I know you.
Yeah, but the person doesn't.
Yeah. And that's because we talked before when we was doing like the pre-chat about the space, which was the next thing we was going to chat about, is in that space. I could have that conversation with someone if I felt I'd synergized with them.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's all about building the relationship as well, because I just think you can't have a mentor in all coaching role if you haven't got the skills and qualities to be able to build that relationship with somebody. And obviously the mentee or client, whatever you would like to call them, has to also have those skills and qualities, you know. So it is about, and having that space to be accepting of people as well, accepting of people's differences and different views and understanding them rather than just dismissing them, you know.
I think creating that space where you and me have given permission to have an honest and open conversation in whatever way, and that may be uncomfortable. And I often talk about stepping in with clients, if I can step into that statement or that conversation, a bit like challenging them in a boxing ring, that I'm gonna come and, you know, get a bit tougher with that way I was approaching you, because I feel like you're open there. I feel like there's some work to be done there.
Yeah.
And a bit like boxing, if I question Sue and I question Sue and I question Sue, if Sue's unstoppable, if that line of questioning is not relevant, then you'll soon put me back in my place or you'll soon be protected. But after a while, you'll feel it if it's not.
Yeah, and also it's about people having confidence to be able to actually say, I don't like the way you're asking me these questions. I prefer it if you reframed it in a different way, you know, kind of thing. And I very much work with critiquing, aka the shit sandwich, you know, because we do have to have very challenging and sometimes very honest and not necessarily positive conversations with people. And it's about how you frame that. And I'm very much a believer, if you lead with a positive, you put the negative stuff in the middle and you end with a positive. So it makes them want to come back to you.
Yeah.
They're going to remember the first thing and the last thing you said to them. You know, so it makes them want to come back. And I'm very much a believer of that.
Yeah, it's quite nice, isn't it? Tell me one good thing about me. Tell me one shit thing. And then tell me one good thing about me. And what's Mary Poppins say? It's a spoonful of sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm just thinking about one particular lady that I've worked with recently. Like when I first met her, she wasn't wrong with what she was saying, but she was very forthright and forceful when everybody else was wrong, you know. And the conversation I had to have with her was, I don't disagree with you at all, you know, I actually agree with you, but how there's a better way of saying that. I mean, she's now become one of my best mentors, you know, in the organisation that I'm developing a mentoring scheme in, you know, and she's really took that on board and realised that actually, yes, she does need to reframe things because we don't understand other people's life experiences and what's caused them to maybe have this negative reaction in certain situations.
Mm. And that's where people are coming from. I was working, do some volunteering coaching. I was working with a guy, a youth offender. He initially, when he started coaching, was coming from a place of like, fuck you, everyone. Like everyone, there's been three people that had seen him before. There's no point talking to him. He's closed in. And I remember our conversations got, I asked for permission. They got really uncomfortable. And we was using the boxing analogy, you know, if I was in a ring and you wanted to work, it would get uncomfortable. Do you get that? He's like, yeah, well, this is the same space. And there was no action. I think it was 2 weeks in between sessions. There was no action. Well, what? So why didn't you take any action? How busy were I? And that straight away, that place that he was coming from, and part of the thing was the consciousness of looking at, do you understand where you're coming from? Oh. In that statement, you know, look at how you've aligned that response to what we're doing, you know, is that effective? And then once he, and it took a while, it's probably the most uncomfortable in terms of conflict. Like this guy was like, I've told you, was so aggressive. And I find that there's usually energy, a bit like hitting a nerve in the dentist. You either get an emotion or a feeling that people either get emotional or they get angry, and he was getting angry. But that is where the work was. Because when he realigned to this is the work and opened up in what had got on, what hadn't got on, and then started laughing at how much time when we looked at it he could have had, it became funny and he saw it differently. But the space, that environment isn't, you have to respect it. Because it's a vulnerable space to be in.
Yeah, and you, like you said, you have to respect people's experiences, you know, and things like that. But sometimes they just need a bit of guidance to actually see it from a different viewpoint, you know, to see why something is their viewpoint's holding them back and how they could turn it around into something, turning the negative into a positive, you know.
Because with the mentoring, I think a lot of people think coaching was like, oh, Matt's going to tell you what to do. When mine is putting you in a space to, I'll throw questions at you, but you'll be working out what to do.
Yeah.
Whereas mentoring is, so boxing, you know, if I said to my, I said to my coach, you know, what have I got to do to get boxing again? He's like, lose some weight, get fit and turn up, you know, it's get busy, get the repetitions of training. And there's three things.
Yeah.
I had already come up with the same ones, but that's coming from a person who knows.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's...
yeah, like I said, there's a lot of similarities with mentoring and coaching and stuff. I would say the mentoring is more of a guidance thing. Mm-hmm. You know, what have you tried so far? You know, how's that working for you? Let's explore a different way if it's not working. You know, that kind of thing. But it's very much client-led. We're just there to support them and guide them and help them look at alternatives maybe. Yeah,
you can say, you know, if you was guiding someone on developing a role, have you read this book? You can be more specific in mentoring. You know, I would do it like this. This is how I would approach it is like this. But in coaching, I remember failing an assessment. We used to have to get a coach used to dial into a conversation coaching call. And I remember having this coaching call. I thought I'd smashed it. And, and they were like, no, yeah, you failed. And I remember thinking, like, what on earth? What it was is the guy was wanted to stop spending money unnecessarily. Like the money that was being spent needed to be looked after more. And I remember talking about a corporate company I worked for where we had to, after a certain figure, we had to get approval from someone else to sign it off, you know, so you could spend £1,000, but if you spent over that, someone would have to authorise it. And I was leading them to what someone else had done, not getting them to unpack, you know, what are ways you could manage money better. It wasn't pure and clean.
Yeah.
In coaching, and that's the space where, like the cocoon for the butterfly, is that it has to be the butterfly that unpacks. It's not like, oh, you could be a hawk. it's pure and clean like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and using your growing analogy, you know, sometimes we just need to, for example, we might plant a plant somewhere and it won't grow, but we'll need to move it, give it a different space, you know, then it'll start growing. You know, and it's helping people to understand that in themselves as well.
So the analogy for me with a gardening is what is once you've got that sheet that says, so I know that mine's creativity, put me in a job, like those folders behind, if I had to go through and subdivide them and list them, I'd create the system. Like I've got bookkeeping that I've got to do. I'll create the system for it, but doing it. So the energy is so difficult for me. So I understand myself enough to know what's easy. Us talking shit for an hour, easy. You know, this to me is like,
I know
what's going to be easy and what's going to be hard. So I have to put systems in place. But once you know that, like my wife has got, she's got a better sheet than I have on me. And she knows how to work me and how not to work me. But once you know that, you know, then you know, oh, sometimes I'm going to need a trellis for support in that area, because that area is going to be a struggle at some point, and then you need to take that away. And that system, which is where I think mentoring comes in that trellis, is that people that want guidance, you can put these, you know, three or four or five habits, like a combination of punches in. But if you do that, you know, then that would, same as a boxer, like if you were sparring with someone and you kept getting caught, they would sit back and say, well, don't step in, you know, maybe throw a jab before you move or step in, so that they're they'll give you a little sequence that you can try in there.
Mm. Well, as a mentor, I wouldn't necessarily give them a sequence. I'd ask them to explore what they could do and then offer suggestions.
So it's coaching as well.
Giving them a sequence as well. You know, you're getting hit in the face. What else is it you can do to stop yourself getting hit in the face? Using your boxing analogy, you know, and then get them to come up with ways. Or I could, you know, protect myself better. I could use a different stance, or I could throw a punch first, that kind of thing, you know.
I think I haven't done it yet, but I did a song, It's Away, a little ditty, and it's talking about It's Away sounds like namaste. Mm-hmm. That there are so many ways to do so many things. Like I'm going out on the bike and I cycled to McDonald's, had a coffee, worked for an hour and cycled back. That's a way. You know, I could have gone out full, you know, an hour cycling. I could have got the punch bag out. There's so many ways to get fit. And I like the fact that coaching and mentoring is combined, because there are three or four ways you might do it.
Yeah.
But there may be 12 ways that it can be done.
Yeah, but it's also about the way that's going to benefit you and you're going to enjoy and what's going to work for you as an individual. You know, there may be 12 different ways, but if 11 of them are not going to work, there's no point in, you know, trying them. You know, so, I mean, I'm just thinking about my son. He loves cycling, absolutely loves cycling. You tell him to go to the gym, he's not going.
And that's aligned to the energy. I'm the same with, I go on the treadmill, I'm watching boxing videos the whole time. It's, and I think this is where people have to sort of step back and find their way.
Yeah.
Because the coaching and the mentoring is unpacking, finding the ways, or actually saying, well, this is three ways that have worked. I remember reading this thing about, you know, walking through a forest. If there's paths that have been made, then don't figure out another one. That to follow that path, it's the simplest route to get in there. But you know, if your goal is more adventure, you might want to climb over the hill or the mountain and explore as you get there, as long as you're on target. And it's the same in business. If there's a, you know, there's loads of ways to get a sale, you know, some people could be sending posts and emails out all day and not connecting. Others may just be like, no, pick up the phone. I remember we went to an exhibition when we set up the Legacy Lifts, and Mandy's a director, and we went to an exhibition. She's like, what am I going to do? And we just said, Mandy, go and make friends. He was like, all right then. And he was off. And you can imagine Mandy, she came back, she knew who does our insurance. She knew her brother and her brother's kids, and she was chatting about them, and she was like going around, and everyone was like, hello, Mandy. I'm like, but that was easy for Mandy.
Yeah.
You know, to do that. Whereas
for somebody else, that could have been the most difficult thing.
Oh yeah.
I've needed a bit of support and a bit of guidance. You know, go over and I'll challenge you to go and talk to three people and then extend it and that kind of thing. You know.
Yeah. My brother couldn't have thought of anything worse.
Yeah, it's down to the individual, and it's down to what the goal is, I suppose. What does that individual want to achieve? You know, and how can they get there? You know, yeah. What are the different, you know, let's explore the different ways, the different paths, the different routes. How can we help you achieve your goal, you know, your potential, whatever it is you're trying to achieve? You know?
Yeah, I was. So one of the things I was doing this morning is I'm just starting to use MailChimp for email marketing. I've never used it before. So it's sort of setting up some templates to send out. So I could send them out to people, whereas Mandy could phone up Claire. All right, how's your dog? You know, there's two different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
And Claire might be, I'm busy, go away. Or she might be, oh, he's funny. You know, it depends again on I think the synergy of how you're connecting with people. It's like magnets, isn't it? Connecting with people and aligning their energies is something that I don't think people get. It's this black and white of what jobs you've got. And I think part of aligning people, like mentoring people into businesses, is getting them in the right positions.
Yeah.
And then coming from a good place, and then the systems in how they do stuff, because if getting sales is something they've got to do, then there's no, you're not going to get away from it.
No, exactly. But it's also about finding their potential as well. So if they're not very good at sales, is there a different job that they could do? Is there an opening there that they could try something else, which they may then excel in, you know, that kind of thing, especially within organisations and things.
Yeah. If we was talking to the boxing analogy, I could jump on someone, sit on them and just keep slapping them on the head. it's a knockout. It's just a different, it's knowing that actually, have you thought about jumping on someone? I didn't mean I could do that. I thought I just had to stand there and, well, no, this isn't actually boxing, this is kung fu, this is MMA. You can do whatever you want. It's opening up those. So in my analogy terms, people approach it like it's the Queensbury rules and boxing, when actually there's that's only 20% of the potential they can use. So when they approach sales, they're approaching it from one way, when actually they could skip, they could do whatever to get the same outcome. And it's having that stepping back in a space with someone to have that bigger perspective of, well, how would you come at it? You know, what's your skills in aligning them and coming, you know, like my sister Mandy's, he's like, get on the phone, speak to them. Paul, we're working with her on the charity. It's like, he could speak to you all day.
Yeah.
Whereas other people will be like, I'm going to write a really nice wordy email.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. You know, but again, it's down to the individual, isn't it? You know, I mean, I personally prefer a combination of both. I like an email and then I like to go and meet people. You know, I find all this online stuff it's very practical, and especially with current times. But for me, there's a bit of a barrier there. I prefer to have a conversation with you face to face. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, quite a people person, but a combination of both works for me.
Yeah, it's funny. I thought I was a people person, but I'm not that much really. I'm using the VA. I've gone full circle, and I wound the businesses down and using the VA. So I just get a message, and we have a OneNote system where I put on the tasks to be done, and then we just use WhatsApp to call back and forwards. I have spoke to the bloke at the start, but other than that, I don't speak to him. So for me, it's quite nice because it's just mechanical.
Yeah.
We occasionally have a laugh, but generally it's just work.
Yeah.
So I don't have that. Sharon used to be in the office here, and if I come back and worked in the other office, she'd have to shut the door because it would wind her up that the door was open and I wasn't talking. I'm not going to sit. I'm going to sit here on my own all day. I can't believe you're not even talking to me. So she's like, I'd have to shut the door because I just come back and get on with work.
Yeah.
Oh, where have you been today? What are you doing? And I'm like, that I just want to get on with work. And so that suits me.
Yeah. The thing I find with email is depends on where the person's coming from again. You know, that words can be misinterpreted sometimes. And people can think, oh, that wasn't written very nicely. They must not like me or something. You know, so again, we've got to reframe. Actually, that's not meant like that at all, you know, kind of thing. And it's about helping people reframe things and look at things slightly different, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that on the group chats with mates, you know, where someone's busy and they've just sent a response thinking that they should send a response. Yeah, okay. And it's funny, I argue with the missus that there's no such thing as tonality, but it depends on how you read that. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Or I can't remember where it was. I was out the other day with the masks on and you're talking to people. It's almost funny how that communication's changed because you would just smile when you talked and you would use that part of your face to help communicate whatever you're communicating, or I do.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got that, then it's just coming across a certain way. You can't...
Yeah, I mean, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, actually, and she was saying that we actually met through work. And when most people, I mean, we've known each other for 20 years, but where we originally met was in a workplace. But when most people are now working from home, how's that going to affect people's friendships going forward?
Mm.
You know, because a lot of people use their workplaces as a place for meeting and...
No, socialising. Well, I was on a session the other day with some guy who's actually got premises and he's thinking about losing them or changing that. The work is done from home, but then use the premises for more like social days where it's just networking.
Yeah.
So you almost don't even get your computers out. You go there and you have conversations, you know, maybe, you know, some text back and forwards or something like that. But you sort of split that social stuff, gets split into more, you know, one or the other, not just speaking at the water cooler or whatever it is in the office. You're having proper conversations. So keeping the space, but just changing how that space is more for hot desking.
Yeah.
Then the nitty gritty stuff. Because I think there's so much more that can be done at home. So I've noticed when Ellie was off, she used to get her schoolwork done by 12. And I was the same when I started working from home, when I was working for a company, that by 11 or 12, I'd got up there at 6 or 7 and smashed it. And then felt that the rest of the day, you're in limbo of not wanting to go off and have fun because you feel like you should be in the office. But technically, you'd done all of the things you had to do because you was being more effective.
But I think I'm upset. My internet's unstable, so I hope you can still hear me.
Yeah, you froze for a little bit, but you're good now.
Yeah. So, no, it's a different way of working, isn't it? So.
But that comes back to the next thing we were talking about, relationships, that in a business environment, those relationships, and to have that synergies. You know, you can tell in a relationship if people aren't synergized and they're not in a line, and in friendship groups as well, it's the same. Creating that space and that relationship is part of the mentoring process, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And like, I don't know what you do with your coaching. Do you have a specific amount of sessions when you're working with someone, or?
No, I do some single deep dives to get people, like a catapult call, just to get people moving in the right direction, and then 1 month or 3 month package.
Oh, so they're generally timed out then, 1 month or 3 months, whereas mentoring can be long-term.
Yes.
You know, it's down to the client, what they feel they need. You know, it can be, you know, six months.
What are some examples of the packages or the work that you've done? Is it all in businesses or schools or?
No, so I do several different things, actually. So I do one-to-one mentoring with people. Currently, I'm working with an organisation implementing a parent mentoring scheme. And that's for parents who have previously had drug and alcohol issues. And I train them up once they've been abstinent for a year to then become mentors and train parents who are midway through a service and becoming abstinent from the drug and alcohol issues. And, you know, that's working absolutely lovely. You know, we pair them up based on their experiences, you know, their qualities, their skills, you know, things like that, what it is the client or the mentee wants as well. Yes, that's working lovely. But I also work with primary, secondary age children and families implementing healthy relationships mentoring scheme. There's a big increase in child to parent violence at the moment.
Really?
And I'm working with families to explore why that's happening, what can be done differently. You know, I'm thinking of one example. You know, mum goes in to wake teenage son up. The first thing he tells her to do is F off. Mum gets the ump because he shouldn't be swearing at his mum, rightfully so, but of course it's a big argument. So we explore with the family what things could be put into place, you know, together, not just working with the mum and not just working with the son individually. We work with them together, you know. So we say to the son, it could be a daughter, you know, why is it you're swearing at your mum first thing in the morning? You know, what could you do differently? And then how would that help the relationship, the family relationship and things?
Mm.
You know, it's exploring different ways and different views of seeing things.
So that is quite coaching based, isn't it? It can be quite coaching based, yeah.
But like I said, it's not necessarily time bound. It's ongoing. It could be as long as the client or the mentee wants. Mm. So, you know, there's no...
Wicked. So we talk about outcomes for mentoring. So if a business was looking at employing someone to come in and improve mentoring, what are some of the things that...
The benefits for the organisation, for organisational purposes, it's basically the individual will be more content in themselves, more content in their workplace, and then hopefully have a more productive role within their job. And it also decreases the, if you're happy in your role, you're less likely to go looking elsewhere. So it cuts down the cost and decreases the staff turnover.
Mm.
You know, so you haven't got all that time and expense of having to re-advertise, re-interview, re-employ, retrain and re-induct people because someone wasn't happy. And often with a mentoring scheme in an organisation, any issues can be resolved before it even gets to management awareness.
Mm.
You know, because they can discuss it with their mentor. The mentor can help them, you know, look at things differently, try different ways, explore different routes of things, you know, and hopefully resolve any issues that are, you know, they're having problems with.
There was I worked as a consultant with Canary Wharf, and there was a lift there that the shoes at the top of the shaft that the ropes ran round weren't aligned to the ropes. So,
yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily a danger issue, but they were wearing. And one of the options, that what they were doing was they was changing them because they were getting worn. And it's like that. People in businesses, that's going on all the time, that if they could just realign the people with the roles and get them to come from a different place, like someone that's uncomfortable managing people or disciplining people, realigning what that actually looks like in the business, how that actually helps everyone to allow them to flow better in that role, suddenly becomes a well-maintained engineered system, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like I said earlier, sometimes it's a case of let's explore where you'll be happier. Let's see if there's an opening somewhere else that you'll be happier and feel that you're doing a better job, you know.
So on LinkedIn, I've got a lot of obviously lift companies in there. And one of the things they do to advertise, you know, that they show when they fitted their lift, they put a coin on the handrail of the lift and then they send it up. So one guy did one the other day, it's like a 34 or 24 floor lift. He's put it on the handrail and he's videoing it going up. But that alignment, if it's good, then that coin stays there and you can feel and you can sense. And we have boxes, we have machines we can put in the lift to sense everything at whatever point in the shaft to go back and re-engineer the best quality ride. But if you're in a business, like, you have the senses, you can see people's face, can't you? You can hear it in their voice and you can see it in the outcomes. You know, if you just sensed in a business what that ride was like day to day and how that felt, and every now and then you'd be like, oh my God, you could just hear the change and that coin drop, or someone getting the ump and that coin drop, and that flow of people within a business model, would the engineering of it would be able to detect where that is. If someone was struggling because of being overloaded and not able to communicate to their manager effectively, I've had that with a guy. One of the things was the communication thing, being able to put your hand up, and actually that was the work, because he was overloaded unnecessarily. And when he could communicate that effectively, got into more of a balanced set and become more effective.
Yeah, exactly. And we've all worked with people who have an issue with saying no. And then, so they're taking on all these roles, all these responsibilities and everything.
Or saying yes.
But they've taken on all these roles, all these responsibilities and things. And then half hour later, they're going, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And they're so stressed out, you know, when actually they've got overloaded. And actually, they could have just said, no, I can't take that on. Or they could have delegated. But with mentoring, that will help them understand. You can say no. That's not a negative. You're not going to get a poor performance review because you've said no, because you've got this amount of work on. You know, your bosses should be able to understand that as well. You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I find that we shift into the deep work, because it's a bit, it's root treatment, because it's where you're coming from. And if you're coming from a place of not being worthy or not good enough, then who are you to tell them that you can't do that, or that they're wrong, or that they're, and sometimes finding out that if you just come from a place of, you know, you have a right to say no, you know, you have a right to say no. And if this isn't within your role, you have a right to at least challenge someone.
Yeah.
If you're not coming from a place of you have a right to, or self-love, or, you know, then you'll just accept it. I'll get on with it.
But even if it is part of your role and you've got too much on, you've still got a right to say, you know, I've got so much on, I can't take this on right now. Could we give it to somebody else?
Well, that's, you know, a self-esteem. That's a confidence thing, isn't it? Being able to do that in a business environment for some people is uncomfortable.
Exactly. And that's where the mentoring comes in. It makes it feel, hopefully, gives them the confidence, boosts their self-esteem, and gives them the onus to say no. You know, because at the end of the day, we do all have a choice.
Mm.
I do very much believe when we do have a choice. If we don't want to do something, we can say no, you know.
So. Yeah, my kids don't watch this. My son's working for me now, Danielle, so I'm not going to... You'd be texting me, Dad, I'm not doing it.
But then he has to take the consequences. If he's made the choice to say no, he then has to take the consequences.
There was a good statement that I listened to the other day, that you have there's choices in choices. So the example I think we used was, you can eat a donut and there are consequences to eating a donut, and then you can not eat a donut and there are consequences to not eating a donut. But people don't see the both. Like you say, people can say yes to doing more work, but the consequences of saying yes may mean you're overworked, all the other stuff doesn't get done. People get frustrated with you because you're not performing. You know, if you look at all the consequences of saying yes, and then there's a consequence of saying no, oh, well, you know, there's a moment of maybe conflict. But actually, when you look at the bigger scheme of things, saying no helps everyone.
Exactly. And sometimes it's about weighing up the pros and cons, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah.
And the other way around.
We talked about the relationship with mentoring. I mean, like the stuff I do within the schools, that's all about promoting healthy relationships. And I don't know, I think we're similar age, and I can never ever remember being taught anything about what a healthy relationship looks like. Can you?
No.
So that's what.
To be honest, even now, I mean, I've got some books that I've got on forming relationships and stuff that I've read, And with the work that I've done, I understand the difference between agreements and expectations and all of the principles that I've worked on. But it's not one course or one specific thing. I think, so there was a guy I follow, Tim Ferriss, done a podcast, and one of the things was talking about communication, how the one fundamental, you know, improving how you communicate, and I'm terrible at it. I outsource some copyright stuff. I get people to proof what I read because my English is terrible. Me and my daughter are both the same when we tell stories and that. It's like, Sharon's like, what are you saying? I don't, you know, the thingy, went over the thingy and it was at that thing that she did what, like, Sharon, what? But if you could communicate better, they said that it's like a game changer in every part of business, because if you can communicate better, if you worked for me and I could communicate what I want you to do effectively, you wouldn't be coming back and asking questions. You wouldn't be like second doubting. You would become more effective because that point of communication was, you know, it's like uploading a software, you know, if you do it effectively, you know, but if the connection's bad, then you don't get that upload. And it's the same with communication. And that's similar. One common thing makes a difference. It's a game changer.
Yeah. It's also about, like we talked about conflict earlier, you know, having a healthy relationship is also about managing conflict and understanding how conflict affects us physically, you know, mentally. You know, if we can have conflict and decide we're never going to talk to that person again, you know, or we can think about, oh, what could we have done differently, you know.
And I think that's the link with the communication is, if you become better at relationships, even if that is putting boundaries in relationships and saying no and being firm, if you become better at that, it's a game changer, because your relationship with your partner, with your kids, with employees, with customers, with friends, with family, with everyone becomes better. And that one game changer of communicating, or and I find it with you tend to find with people when they start coaching that there are links, same as in engineering. Oh, the whole lift's a piece of shit. Well, is it really? Yeah, it keeps stopping on the sixth floor. Well, not the fourth, no, just the sixth. Oh, well, maybe it's something on the sixth floor then. You find that there's a commonality that brings you down to a point. Oh, it was the sixth floor door lock. Oh, it was a piece of shit. No, it's the sixth floor. The cleaner was leaving a bin in front of it. You know, it was something that brings it down to a point of where the work is. And I find with coaching people, they may be, oh, that job was shit. They didn't listen to me, so I left. Right, and then it'll be that relationship, and she didn't. So we split up, and you'll find that there are common points through it that actually maybe that job and that relationship was fine. It's just that you came at it from a different point every time, and that you're the common factor.
Yeah. Or alternatively, maybe you weren't the right person for that role, and moving on was the best thing.
Yeah.
We have to look at the whole perspective of things, don't we? That's the thing.
But I do find it's funny. I've had a coach recently work with me on myself, and there was a point where I didn't realise I was still coming from a place of not enough. And it was interesting when you start getting deeper into some things, how that turning up still showed up in other areas. And finding that common thing, you know, being bad at communicating, how that affects your relationships, your jobs and everything else. Being coming from a place of maybe anger, and that shows up in every place. You know, oh, he's really angry, or he gets the arse, or he's really sarky or whatever. It you take it with you. And if you can find that, and I think my point is coming back to that is a common root, which is where the deeper work is.
Yeah. Like I said, with the mentoring, it's about the client and the mentee. So we really, we're helping them to be autonomous and be responsible for themselves and how they manage or respond to situations and, you know, achieve their goals, you know, and things like that. So we can't be responsible for other people's anger and other people's decisions all the time. You know, and it's about understanding that as well.
Yeah,
the best thing to do is walk away sometimes, like I said, and find a different something you could be more productive and happier and better in, you know.
Because you can mentor someone on how to communicate better, and that can change someone else.
Yes.
By saying, I don't think we should do it that way.
If the other person is open and accepting to hearing that as well.
You can't change them. You can get better at getting them in a position to understand, you know, can I talk to you about something that's been playing up on my mind, and I want to open up to you and share it. Are you able to do that? You know, you can get better in getting people in a position, like going to the boxing, you know, to get in a position. Sometimes there's three or four steps to get in a better position to take action or get that knockout. Whereas in business, again, asking for permission to sit, can we have a one-to-one? Can I schedule some time where you can just talk to me about some of the things that I've got going on? I just want to run them through, if that's all right. You know, that's getting someone in a position. Okay, then, you know, so is it okay now for us to talk? Are you, you know, I don't want you to see this as an uncomfortable situation. I just want to get some stuff off my chest. Is that okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You're almost warming them up to open, to being open and creating that space where you can then share, you know.
Yeah, and that's where the critiquing, aka my shit sandwich, comes in. You know, like, you open it up with a positive, you fill in the negative, and then you finish with a positive. But as we've just said, the other person's got to be open and accepting to hearing you as well.
Yeah.
You know? And if they're blinkered and just deaf to hearing things, or they feel they're always right, sometimes you just think, right, okay, this is a battle that I'm not going to win. And sometimes it's about being honest and open to hearing that as well.
And get a French stick and smash them over the head. Call it French stick. There's loads of ways of doing it, isn't there? You've got to get a bit crusty. But sometimes, I remember, coaching a woman who's, I think she was retired. And I remember saying, like, what would you do if you was being less of a dickhead about it? She was like, oh. No one's ever said that before, but it was a bit like cracking the egg, you know. That's after that, she opened up, but it needed a little bit of a slap to say, like, come on, like, you know, that. What else would you do? And it just opened it up. And sometimes you need to come from a different place, don't you?
Yeah, like I said earlier, reframe, reword things, try and have an understanding of why that person might be that way. You know, that kind of thing, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Listen, is there anything else you want to chat to regarding time?
Well, no, not really. I mean, like, time stands for training and mentoring excellence. So I will help organisations implement a mentoring scheme, train up people like volunteers or staff that are interested in becoming mentors, and help them with pairing mentors and mentees, or clients, whatever you prefer to call them.
And this is schools, businesses, clubs, organisations?
Yeah, individuals.
Family.
I mean, families. I mean, the schools and the families one is more on healthy relationships and exploring the differences between healthy and unhealthy relationships, you know, how we can deal with and overcome conflict, how we can look at things differently, that kind of thing. With families one, it's generally around child parent violence and how we can hopefully overcome that, you know, and nip those behaviours in the bud before they become extreme. Because there is definitely a rise in that at the moment. And I also do one-to-one mentoring with individuals who feel they might need a bit of support or guidance in certain areas of their life, or, you know, in general, or trying to achieve things. I mean, I'm still mentoring university students, you know, and helping them with transitioning from wherever they're living down to university, and helping them understand where they can go for support and things like that as well. So, yeah, it's quite a varied role, but very interesting. Yeah.
So. I'm definitely going to give you a call and speak to you about ME12 Linked. I think there's some stuff we can do there.
Yeah, brilliant.
Be good in the area. I think most places now, this oiling the cogs and getting back into realigning people, and that mentoring would be, you know, a great piece of the puzzle in doing that.
Yeah, especially with coming out of the current pandemic as well, where we've all had to sort of like be isolate and do our own thing and live our own little bubbles and things. And I think there could be some support and guidance needed with how we kind of like speak to people again. And
what's the first stage? Is that someone gives you a call and do you do a, is it a call, initial call, or have you got a packages that you offer, or is it you have a one-to-one first?
Well, my website is currently being created, so they give me a call and discuss what it is they'd feel they need support and help with. We'll arrange a free informal chat meeting first, and then we'll look at what it is I can offer them. It's very individual and tailor-made and bespoke to whatever the individual organisation wants.
Yeah, so
like I said, currently I'm working with a alcohol and drug misuse service, so that's very individual to that service. If I was just do something for ME12 linked, it'll be individual to you, and it'll be based on what your organisation wants to achieve from the mentoring.
Well, Sue, lovely. Well, cheers for coming on.
That's all right. You've got my business card, haven't you?
Yeah, so I'll add those things in the links below, and then, we'll send it out and go from there.
Yeah, all right. Great chatting.
All right, well, you have a good day.
Yeah, and you take care. Enjoy your cycling. I hope your bottom gets better soon.
See you later.
See you later.
Yeah,
bye.